God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Did your vote count in the last election? Regardless of what election that may have been, I know what you're probably thinking, but did your vote count? Do you feel as if you have a voice in the governance of the country? If you're serving, does your ministry matter? In short, do the decisions and actions you make today, do they make a difference? You know, it's so easy to go through life and feel as if you're powerless and as if it does not matter what you do one way or the other. You're just kind of fatalistic about things, and things are going to happen that are going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, Esther, the book of Esther, is a book about the providence of God. Providence comes from provide, which means looking ahead, and that's exactly what God was doing in saving the Jewish people from a wicked man named Haman, who was in the Persian Empire, a courtier of great stature, and wanted to kill all the Jewish people. Esther, Queen Esther, was a queen who, very unlikely as it may be, she was the queen of this kingdom, and she was Jewish. And so, in Esther chapters 1 and 2, you have a couple incidents that happened. They seem to be unconnected. They seem not to matter. One was that Esther is taken into the harem, and then Esther is made the new queen of this empire. And the second is that her father figure, a man named Mordecai, who was actually her cousin, he heard about a plot to kill the king. He got word to the king, and he basically saved his life. And the Bible says in Esther 2:23, "And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree," that is, both the conspirators, "and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king." Now, what happened? Nothing. The king, I can just see the king as the dust is settling and the Secret Service agents are patching things up after an attempt on his life has been made, or at least it was planned. He says, "Hey, tell that young man good job. I appreciate his sparing my life. Write it down in the records." And it was basically forgotten. So you have these two unrelated, seemingly unrelated incidents. You have Mordecai, the Jew. You have Esther, his cousin, who was like a daughter to him. And you have a man named Haman, who is called the Jew's enemy. In chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman and advance him and set his seat above all." So the right people were losing and the wrong people were winning. But as I said, providence is the ability of God to look ahead. It also is the providence. God is providing for his people before they even know that they have a need. And I want to tell you something. No matter how futile your life may seem, your efforts may seem today, what you do today does matter. It matters regardless of the apparently random nature of your life right now. You know, you don't have to see the big picture to know that there is one. And a God that is too big to comprehend is certainly big enough to comprehend you. And that's what you learn from this story. Mordecai saves the king's life. Nothing seems to happen. It seems like just a random event. But before the story is over, that is the story of Esther and God's providence for his people, you find that this was a very key event. The king forgot about it, but God did not. So what you do today does matter, regardless of the apparently random nature of events. Number two, what you do today does matter, no matter who may notice you. In this case, the king did not notice what Mordecai had done. And later, Haman did notice Mordecai and hated him and wished to have him killed along with all of his people. You know, we're not going to do the right thing if being favorably noticed is our main goal. This king who was saved by Mordecai, he was cut off from everyone and everything that could give him any kind of intelligence on what was going on in the kingdom. Even Esther, the queen, could not approach him without his permission. No one was allowed in his kingdom who was unhappy or who had a problem, it seems. So maybe you feel as if no one notices, but I want to tell you something. God does notice. The Bible says we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weakness, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So what you do today does matter. Hey, what you do today does matter no matter the feelings of futility that you may feel. You know, here's Haman, wicked Haman, I should say, who was now on the king's good side. And after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman. He forgot the man that saved his life. He promoted the man that was just rotten all the way through. But God was on the throne, no matter who was ruling the kingdom here, or thought they reigned. And what you do today does matter. And what you do today does matter, no matter the weight. In verse 15 of chapter 3, the last verse, the Bible says, "And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed." In other words, they sat down to have a nice evening and drink their problems away. And I'm sure that Mordecai must have felt, no one knows what's going on. I'll be waiting forever for any kind of salvation. And it was several years. But timing is everything. And in the end, God used all these events to bring about the rescue of these people. And it's not in spite of the fact that God is sovereign. It's because God is sovereign, because God reigns. I don't have to know the significance of the decisions I make today to know that they're significance. And I don't have to shoulder the burden alone. There is a God in heaven. Now, how do I reconcile the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, the free will that I am responsible to exercise? And the answer is the paradox is not solved by your intellect. It is solved by your faith. In our minds, we think, I can be here or I can be there. But God is not a man. God can be here and he can be there. We can say, I was, I am, I will be. God is in yesterday and he's also in tomorrow. God is not hemmed in by time and space, which is just to say that we cannot impose our restrictions on an infinite God. And that means that, yes, God is sovereign. And yes, I do have choices. And yes, what I do today does matter.